Welcome to another edition of the Oncology Peer Review on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Fowler, and today is Monday, September 14th. In today's episode, my colleague Hannah Slater speaks with Dr. Michael Randell of OBGYN Atlanta to learn more about the new cervical cancer screening guidelines released by the ACS. In the interview, Dr. Randell expresses his concern with the guidelines and details what he recommends to patients.
So first off, could you just explain the new guidelines released by the American Cancer Society regarding cervical cancer screening?
So the new guidelines have cervical cancer screening beginning at age 25. And that's a difference from in the past when we talked about beginning screening at age 21. And no longer is the PAP recommended. It's now recommended that we do HPV screening beginning at age 25 and doing that every 5 years.
So what would you say are the implications of these new guidelines?
I'm concerned. I've been practicing now for 25 years, and I'm very comfortable with performing the PAP and the HPV test together, what we refer to as co-testing, because data has shown us that with co-testing, we're able to not only find more patients that have cervical cancer or cervical cancer precursors, we're able to give patients reassurance that with a negative PAP test and a negative HPV test, that we're not missing disease.
So with regard to patients, how would you explain the impact of these updated guidelines?
So my understanding is the American Cancer Society is trying to streamline the screening process. We've had so many variables with regards to when we start screening, how frequently we should be screening, should we be relying just on the PAP or the combination of PAP and HPV testing or HPV testing alone. And according to the American Cancer Society, based on epidemiological studies, they're saying that we should not be performing the PAP test. We should be performing an HPV test, and we should perform that test beginning at age 25. I'm concerned. I know that the PAP provides us with a lot of additional information that we don't get from the HPV test. The HPV test is telling us whether or not the patient has the virus, which is associated with cervical cancer. When we look at a PAP test, we're looking at individual cells, so we can find a lot more. And that's why studies have shown that performing the PAP and the HPV test together provides us with better information. Some studies have shown us that we miss about 2 times as many cancers just relying on HPV testing alone.
So if a provider chooses to follow these new guidelines, would you recommend to patients that they advocate for co-testing instead?
Well, we have to put in perspective, the American Cancer Guidelines are only the American Cancer Society guidelines. We don't have any changes from the American College of OBGYN. The United States Preventive Services Task Force, they still talk about performing PAP smears or PAP tests beginning at age 21, performing that until age 29, utilizing HPV testing as a reflex test. That is, in the event of a abnormal result that we're not sure what's going on, we do HPV testing at that point and then guide the patient accordingly. And beginning at age 30, we do co-testing, the PAP and the HPV test together every 5 years, or a PAP test every 3 years. So based on national organization societies that haven't changed their approach, I think most providers and most physicians will stay with what we currently are doing.
So moving forward, would you say that there is a worry for patients, or would you say that right now we're kind of okay?
Well, I think if we adopt these new guidelines too soon, when there's not enough experience with it, both from our patients as well as from providers, we're gonna miss some disease. You know, we're gonna miss patients who have precancerous lesions that we can treat and prevent development of cervical cancer, and those patients who have cervical cancer. So relying on something that has really been studied in a small number of patients, relatively speaking, in a population, one of the studies they looked at was Kaiser, where that's a controlled group of patients compared to the real world. There have been other studies that have shown us that the combination of the PAP and the HPV test together provides us with better detection of precancerous lesions as well as invasive cervical cancer. So I say there is a risk. There is a risk to women if they're not having the combination of the PAP and the HPV test together.
So that's all I had for you. Is there anything that I didn't ask that you think is worth mentioning in the space?
No, I think, you know, like anything, we need to keep up with the data. We need to see how this gets rolled out over the coming years. We need to see whether or not other organizations, societies adopt what the American Cancer Society is coming out with today. Only time will tell whether or not things are going to change. I've been practicing now for 25 years. And during this 25 years I've been practicing, I've seen a tremendous change in the way we screen patients for cervical cancer. You know, before it was just a glass slide that was looked at under a microscope. And then we moved into computers rechecking our PAPs because we realized that the PAP wasn't good enough. And then we got into liquid-based cytology. So no longer were we putting the cells running the slide and sent up to the lab. It was in a liquid solution. And then the liquid solution was processed and read in the laboratory. Then we identified HPV as the viral etiology of the disease process and used that in the reflex mode to help us manage these mildly abnormal Pap smears. Then we talked about co-testing in women 30 years and older. So we've seen an evolution and a evolution of the screening intervals. You know, we used to say when a woman became first sexually active or reached the age of 18, she should be having cervical cancer screening. And then we changed that to age 21 or within the first 3 years of sexual activity. And then it became just at age 21. Now we're moving into age 25. You know, I can only imagine what it's going to be like 10 years from now. You know, one Pap smear in your entire life, that seems, but it's important. I think women have to stay in tune with what's being recommended. Physicians have to, you know, familiarize themselves with literature as well as with what's available in their community, in their lab. For example, the new guidelines state that if primary HPV tests are not available, physicians should continue to perform the screening as they are currently doing so. And that's with the combination of the PAP and the HPV test. No question that the combination of those two tests provide patients with the best information.
Great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. I really do appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. Or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcast. The Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast is the official podcast of Cancer Network, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at Cancer Network without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at Cancer Network.